for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Tuesday afternoon, the December 28, 1999, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Campground. The speaker for this afternoon is Mildred Coffey. Mildred has shared over the years as far as women's deliverance and deliverance teaching. We thank you, and we hope you enjoy the meeting already in progress.
Hey, Lord, this is the day that you've made. And Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Now, Father, as we gather together, we ask you just to minister to us by your Spirit. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and open our heart that the Word can go in our heart and take out, root out all that's in our heart that we don't need there. Lord, we desire to be totally yielded to you and let you have your way in our life. And so we thank you for what you're doing this day in our lives, and we praise you and give you glory. And Father, now in the name of Jesus, as I come in the authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, I come against every spirit that would hinder. I bind principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. I bind Satanism. I bind kingdoms and dominions and thrones, all the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. I bind the powers from the netherworld. I cut off the power from the false prophet, the dragon and the beast in the name of Jesus. And I cut off Satanism from the north and the south and the east and the west. And I thank you again, Father, for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Cleanse this part of the church, Father, and downstairs, and from any spirits that's left here, we drive them out in the name of Jesus. We bind them and call for the angels of the Lord to come and take them to the bottomless pit, and we praise you and give you glory. Amen and amen. I'm going to share a little bit today on the, I think on the hunter souls. I think I said something about it a time or two. And this morning I was looking at this, and I'm going to start off with he has the souls of men, but I want to also touch on, I was going to touch on some of the incest and witchcraft, but the girls that were wanting some deliverance from it, all of them are not here, so, but we'll see. Anyways, we'll see however the Lord leads. But over in Luke's Gospel, in the 19th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to start with, I think, about the 8th verse, talking about Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus told him to come down out of the tree. You know, we learned that when we was in kindergarten and in church, you know, about Jesus said to him he's going to go to his house. But anyways, when he goes to Zacchaeus' house and all in, in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, insomuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I looked up in the concordance some of these words, and I know that we know this, but sometimes it helps us to get a little more grounded in it. I believe that when we're doing deliverance on anyone, I should have changed my shoes. We need to start with getting our soul back. And here, I believe this is what Jesus is talking about, simply because it says, I looked up the word seek. Let me see, where did I put that? And seek means to find it and to bring back. But to seek, and then word save, when you go into the concordance, it says to deliver, to save, to heal, to preserve, and to make whole. Of course, if Jesus came to seek and to save, and to make us everywhere whole. Well, you begin with the soul of man, because what does scripture say in Psalms 23 that He restores our soul. And so, praise the Lord, I can't reach the microphone without standing on my tiptoes. I know that's okay, I'll just do it like this. Praise the Lord. But over in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was writing the letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he said in chapter 5, and he was talking about rejoice, everyone, verse 16, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks for the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and quench not the spirit, and despise not prophesying, and prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And then he goes on to say, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying that the soul, the spirit, and the body, the whole soul, the whole spirit, and the whole body. He said, I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. And so we see here that God wants our soul preserved. He wants it restored. It said, I'm going to go to a scripture on this in a few minutes, to turn back home again, return to the starting point. I heard someone use the scripture, refer to the scripture yesterday in Psalms that says, Psalms 19, I think it is, verse 7, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When you look up the word converting, it means to bring back home again, bring back to the starting place. Many times when they translate this word, they put words in that were easier to, to understand or whatever. But when you go to the Hebrew and look that word up, it's the same word as restoreth in other places. But when it says converting, so our soul has to be converted. You know, we've been hearing, we're saved, we're being saved. Well, this is really what they're saying. We've been saved, and we are being saved. Paul said, work after our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we were sitting, as Reba and I, sitting back there, Reba, when Brother Dale was finishing up this morning about getting the word into your heart, instead of getting your head and your heart in line with one another is really what he was saying. So out of the abundance of the heart is what the mouth speaks. And they never tell you how to do it. But how do you do it? You do everything we do with the Word of God, don't we? We need to go back and say, have the Word in your heart. If we get the Word in our heart in abundance, it'll throw out everything else. Did you know that? It'll override it. It won't be, and you can get free from it. But the Word is, the way we do it is we listen to others instead of, we got to speak the Word. I'm fully convinced that we don't speak God's Word enough. Now, we'll minister somebody, and I've had so many cliches thrown out to me in the last six weeks. And it just makes me want to, look. Because it's easy to say for somebody to throw something at you and just really a cliche. When I'm saying that, they may even be speaking the Word, but it doesn't mean anything to them. And they're just saying it to you. But what we've got to do is to let it come out of our heart in abundance, and speak it with our mouth, let our ears hear it, and believe it in our heart. And so I believe I know why we need all of our soul, and we need to know the powers of darkness that we're working against, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, that we can get all of our soul back, and we can... I put it like this. When we get all of our soul back, our mind, will, and emotion, and I don't care what Tommy says, personality, appetite, vitality, every part of us is in our soul. He says it's four parts, but I disagree with him because I've dealt with the others. But there's vitality, your energy, just vitality, your personality. Get part of you. Have you ever seen someone that had absolutely no personality? Well, that part of their soul's been removed, and they need someone to stand the gap and call it back for them and pray for them to receive their personality. And then you see people that have many personalities. They're with this person, they're just lovey-dovey, and then they get over here and they're, you know, totally different. And so that's another personality, which is a part of the soul. The personality is your soul. And what happens is that the devil will take a part of it out through something, some way or other, and give you a false personality in place of it. You know, Peggy, yesterday I had somebody come to me and say, and I'm gonna fix and do a study on it and see what God's saying about it. And they said to me, do you think that maybe if we could find the doorways, open doors to our five senses, that we could get all of our soul back and be restored and then have them blocked where the devil couldn't come back and take any part of you? Think about that. What's your senses? Your eyesight, sense of smell, hearing, touch, and taste. See, touch, taste, smell, feelings, or the miss. Did I? Okay. But are those five, those are five gateways, and I believe they're the five gateways that the enemy works on us through. The very worst. But the thing is, you know, Jesus was talking about us overcoming the things of the world, which is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But what we see, you know, there's a scripture in John where Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." And he tells us life and death in the power of the tongue. Excuse me. So if we begin and we find out how the enemy gets in through those different areas of our being, we can stop the devil from stealing from us, and we can be back what God wanted us to be to begin with. I'm going to do some study on that. Because when the person spoke to me about it, man, it just went off in my spirit and thought, that's it. I'm going to find out what the Lord is saying about this. But he wants us ever with hope. And we're going to be ever with hope, those of us that will go on. First of all, we're going to have to get rid of this lust of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he saw that spirit go into them. And it was a lust spirit, if I'm not mistaken. It was a sexual one. But the Word tells us, and to help you, keep you from, show you that you don't have to be fearful, go to Proverbs 26. And let's look at that scripture. It tells us in Proverbs 26, verse 2, "As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." If we have protection from curses, as long as we keep our gates all closed. Can you see how it's going to be important to find out how we know through the tongue and through the eyesight, we know that, and the things we hear. If someone said to me yesterday, and I was talking about images, you know, he said, "What about TV? TV's a great one. And you get any kind of garbage you want on it." And I think our best bet is to pick it up and throw it out in the backyard. It is. We are getting a little bit of Christian. I found a station not on my cable, but just on my white and white, and that was my old TV. I don't even know where it comes from, that I get some Christian music, and of course I don't listen to the preachers. Sorry, I don't like their preaching.
It's a good idea not to listen to them.
It's a very good idea. I've really been talking to the Lord about this. Instead of sitting down watching TV, sit down and watch my Bible. I have got me a book that's got scriptures to stand on. You know, I always go through my Bible and do it, but I've been quoting those to myself and walking through my house and praying. And I'll put a scripture tape on in my bedroom, one in my living room, and one in my den. And I try to get them in, so I can hear from one with the other. And I leave them on. I go off and leave them on in my house because they're on automatic reverse, and let the Word just penetrate. And you know, when you walk back in your house, it's a whole different feeling in there. It's just peace in the house. So if we can do that to the natural, the wooden or frame house, then what about this house? If we just fill up on the enemy can't do what he wants to do with us. And so we've got to know our enemy. We've got to know what and we do know who he is. And we've got to know how to protect ourselves from it. And I think right now, and I know that a lot of people won't agree with me, but I think the biggest thing we're fighting now is the occult. And that's why I was decided to go after Hunter Soul's talk on that today, because this demon spirit works in witchcraft. And it works with a witch. And I've shared on this before up here, but I really felt that we really need to look at the witchcraft and the occult. So many people have been in the occult, and they're coming out. And I'll say another thing. I'll say this because I don't think many people believe it. But you can be cursed by spirits in people. They give them power. They give the demons power. How do I say this? I don't want it on that tape. Oh, they're not there. Oh, well. Sorry. They return to the sender. In Psalms 109, it talks about it. It says, they that love cursing, let the curses return unto them. But the problem is, most of the time, we've got an open door, and it usually starts from this gate right here. You don't always sense it. Sometimes you can, and it'll hit. You can sometimes just like weights. When I get hit, it feels like claws in my back. You know, what it is, it's arrows, words that have been spoken that come like arrows. And I just say, Father, put an angel back and pull those out of my back and send them back to where they came from. And Dr. Noel and I got into a debate over that, and I said, I'm sending them back. He said, no, you don't send them back. You walk in love. I said, I'm walking in love. I love them at a distance, but I'm not going to love their curses. I said, let me tell you. The word says they suffer a witch not to live. And it said the word tells us that God had all of the occult, and that's why he wanted when they go into the land to destroy the all that was in the land, because he didn't want his people to get invaded by all these demonic forces. And today you can walk in a store and you can feel the evil in a store. You can drive up on a parking lot and it's there, and it's all around us. And we need to start fighting the witchcraft and the occult. All, you know, occult means hidden. It's hidden, that which is hidden. And God is trying to bring it into the open, but I think because there's so much witchcraft in people that it won't let them believe. And I went back, if you can go back to the girl that in our church that I ministered to, and she is a precious lady today that was so full of it. It came down through her family. And one of the personalities within her was number 13. I think I've said that up here. She had 16 false personalities. And we had gotten all of them out, I thought. And we went after the ruler of it, which was a Pyrox spirit, which is a monster. He was the strong man. We worked about half of the night on her. We had two teams, and one team would pray until they give out, and then they'd switch, and another team would pray. And I was asking the Lord about it, and why it was so hard to get out. And of course, it was the strong man. And he said, you know, what told me what I was dealing with, that it was the strong spirit, strong man in her. So as Pyrox, when I had that thing almost out, and then lost it, and I wondered what was holding it in, and the thing was so mad at me, if it could got hold of me, I think it would have tried to kill me, but couldn't get hold of me. But it was so mad, it was yelling, just saying everything on sudden, and I said, I believe there's a personality holding that thing in. And all of a sudden, I thought about 13, that I didn't remember if we'd gotten it out. And I still didn't know it was witchcraft in her. This was early in when I first started learning about deliverance. And so I started calling that 13 out. And this strong man said to me, I threw him out a while ago. He's in a box. I threw him out. And so we continued praying. And didn't get any results from going after that personality. So we did get the strong man out, and it was some kind of battle. That girl was totally different after we got that thing out of her. But it wasn't too long afterwards, and I don't remember how long after it was, her husband brought her into church one Sunday morning, and she couldn't walk. He was carrying her, and she could not move her legs at all. And so he set her down, and we went to praying for her, and I said, Lord, I don't know what this is, and I just said, you know, come out, and, you know, you go after symptoms, paralysis and whatever, and the Lord said, witchcraft. And I thought, okay. And so I said, you spirit of witchcraft, you come out of there. And all of a sudden, that personality manifested on her. And he laughed at me. He said, I fooled you, I fooled you. I told you I was gone and I wasn't. I said, who the heck are you? I didn't even remember, you know, going after 13. And he said, what'd you call, woman? What'd you call? And I thought, I said, witchcraft. He said, I said, oh, you're 13. He said, dumb, dumb, dumb. Yeah, that's who I am. Said, you should have known that. I said, okay, well, it's time for you to leave. And we threw him out, and she was okay. But she had not, she would not listen to you when you try to minister to her in the area of witchcraft. She'd say, I don't believe in it. And when somebody doesn't believe in it, you can bet they're loaded. Because she was, and I won't go into all the details, but she had a sister that could paralyze an animal with her hands. And their sisters, the Lord's dealing with that girl now, and I believe eventually we're going to get her in the church and get to deliver her from all this. But she has had all kinds of garbage in her house. And, you know, what I mean, garbage is truly all kinds of idols and things. And it's a thing we're fighting most today, though, because if you'll watch the TV, you can see it in everything, even in their advertisements. You're getting, it's in the occult and perversion and everything else. Over in Psalms in chapter 7, in verse 2, well, verse 1 says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. And I think I read this the other day, but doesn't matter, I'll read it again. And he said, save me. This is a psalm of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning, he was the words of crushing the Benjamite. And David was, you know, was in warfare, you know, his life and things. But he said, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Sometimes when we're under these curses, persecution, it seems like everybody's, whether they're persecuting you or not, you begin to think they are. Okay? But he said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Having been in Satanism and the occult, any of you know how they go after the soul of a person, because they get the soul, they control them. And this is why it's so important to know and to get your soul back. He said, O Lord my God, if I've done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, see, this is, if I've rewarded evil to someone, spoke evil over someone that's been at peace with me, then I've opened the door for the enemy to attack me. Still working from my mouth. So, well, I don't see how that would work. Don't you see that if we criticize others or come against others, that we are opening the door for the enemy to attack us? And you may not know it right then, but it can come in right then. He said, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him without cause as my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. He said, if I've done this, let the enemy take my soul, persecute my soul and take it. So here we see David saying that your soul can be taken. And people get real fearful when you say this and say, well, I don't, you know. No, we don't get in fear. We know who, you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus and know your authority. What I'm trying to show you is to protect your soul. I'm trying to tell you, show us to get our soul back. And to, when we get it back, to protect it and keep our mouth shut. Oh, Lord. You know, he said in, it's over in Psalms, he said, put a guard on my mouth. Set a guard on my mouth. And we need to pray that, Lord, set a guard on my mouth. Teach my hands to war and my fingers to do battle, but keep my mouth shut. And that, Lord, only you can do, because James talks about it over in the book of James. He said the tongue is set on fires of hell, and that no man can tame the tongue. Only God can tame it as we allow him to do it. Let me see where I want to go from there. That's what Scripture says. That's exactly what the Scripture says. Problem is, we don't do it enough. And we need to. Over in, let's go to 1 I had one in Proverbs I want to use first. Proverbs 22. You have to guard your thoughts too. Because the enemy, see, let the enemy get into your thoughts, he'll get you to open your mouth. That's why he works. That's why he's after your soul, because if he can get hold of your pieces of your mind, what your soul is, your mind, will, and emotion, all these other parts, then if he gets a little, when you think about it, we don't know what the soul is. We know it, I believe it's in the blood. But if they just get a little tiny bit of our soul, and he gives us something in place of it, if we don't know it's there, that thing can grow. That's a bad thing about not getting rid of all this stuff and asking the Lord to cleanse your blood, to bring back your soul and to restore your soul. And then he says that we're to entrust him with taking care of it. And I've done this and I still do it. And I say, Lord, put an angel in my mind to take care of my thoughts and to guard my thoughts until I can take care of them. You see, last my husband died, I had such a hard time with my thoughts. You know, the enemy was accusing me, you should have done this. And, you see all the things you maybe should have done, and you thought, well, I've done everything I knew to do. And so I just say, Lord, I need the protection of my mind until I can get a hold of it and take care of it myself. So would you put an angel in my mind to stand guard over it? And he did. You have not because you ask not. People say, you can't do that. Don't tell me I can't. I've already been doing it for years. There's been many times when things happen in your life that you can't deal with right then. The devil just bombards your mind with all kinds of persecution, condemnation, and all everything you can think of. And God is merciful. And then say, I need protection until I can deal with this. And I've ministered this many times to girls that I'm dealing with, working with them. And I've told this before, 9 out of 10 people I minister to that comes to our church has been abused, been sexually abused. When I say abused, you can think of them physically, spiritually or mentally. But most of it's sexual abuse. Mental abuse is bad, but none of it is as bad as sexual abuse because it does such a terrible thing to people. This girl that had all those personalities had been sexually abused when she was 4 years old. I don't know how long she was abused, but all these personalities came in. They didn't just come in at one time. They came in periodically as the abuse was continuing, and each one of them was to protect her. And I had asked the Lord, Lord, why is it taking so long to get her delivered? And he said, because you're building her personality back with the Word. She had quit growing. She had, these spirits had come in and they had taken her over. So she had no protection, even though she was saved. I thought about how her crying out to God when she was 4 had saved her. Because God had watched over, even though all this was happening, and it happened through her father. And see, her father was her authority. And so why didn't God stop it? That was her father. And he was supposed to be showing her the Father God. But yet she cried out to God for help. And she said when she cried out to God, she was in the closet and blood was running down her leg. She said, I had blood all over me. She remembers it. And she said that she was crying out to God. She said, God, if you love me, why do you let this happen? And I heard her say that many times during deliverance. If you love me, why did you let this happen? And you ask the question, why is there so much? Because the devil has done this. He has these curses, the sins of the fathers. He's put this in men and women. The women have done the same, have abused their children. And he's done this to them to destroy their faith, to cut them off from God so they wouldn't believe God at all. And yet God's hand was on that girl. And he brought her through all of this. But she was in this closet when I started saying she was crying, and this voice spoke to her and said, I'll take care of you. I won't let you be hurt. And this demon came in. That was the one that came in that let in the others. And he came in, and for years, that's where the personalities began to come in. And she had, with her own blood, this thing made her do it. Signed her life away in that closet. I said, how did you do it? You were too young. She remembered. She says, I don't remember what I wrote, but something was written. And the demon confirmed it. He said, her name's written in the devil's book. I thought, well, it was in there to start with. So I just say, Father, she's a blood-bought, redeemed child of yours. Now I just ask you to remove her name out of the devil's book. And that thing said, you can't do that. I said, no, I can't, but God can. And he just did. And I always like to say, hide and watch. Because they just are so smart with it. They get so hard on you. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? But the thing is that little girl, as a five-year-old, in her own blood, and I have dealt with that with other girls, where the blood from where the... See, when God made man and woman, and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they were married, became one flesh, that bonding came through the sexual act. There was bloodshed. And so when a child is molested, there's bloodshed. And this is where the enemy gets in and has a right to come in, because that demon, through the father, has entered in because the father has given his permission. He just said, do you understand why in Satanism that there's so much sex involved? Because, see, this is the root of it all. It goes back to reproduction. That's why incest is so bad. It's horrible for what it does to a person, but because that's the act that God created to create. See, we were made in the image of God, and through the sex act, we create another being. That's why adultery and harlotry is so bad. God hates it because of the reproduction that comes forth. Where man and woman is made in the image of God, then can conceive and bring forth another creature, another human being. And God hates it. And the devil has perverted it through and began with adultery, fornication, incest, child abuse, and all of this. And that's why it's today it's so everywhere. It's an abomination unto God. And then after all of the things that he brings forth and these children that come forth and the pregnancy that come forth that have been terminated, killing the babies is a dedication to Satan. It's a worship of Satan. And they're doing it, a lot of them are doing it ignorantly. They know better than to do it to start with, but they don't realize that when they kill those babies, they are sacrificing them to the devil. And it's an abomination to God. Well, that's true. His protection has been. Let me get it on the tape, okay? Thanks for bringing it up. When the father breaks the seal, he has opened that child up. He has removed his covering, his protection, and that child's up for grabs in the spirit realm, in the evil forces. And the strong, they fight over him. The demons fight. The rulers, I don't mean just a demon, one you can run off with whatever. These are one that come in and take that life over. And they don't leave these either. And they'll fight and because they have to have a human body to do their dirty work and to destroy. And a lot of people, well, with kids that are not getting deliverance, it literally destroys them. They never, all through their life, they don't, never know, it's hard for them to come to know God. Because that's why it said over in Deuteronomy, I read it yesterday, I can't go into all things that I say up here, down there. But that's why in Deuteronomy, when it talks about the curse of the bastard, and the incest that came through Lot's two daughters. They can't enter the congregation of the Lord, it said, for 10 generations. Well, it's hard to get them saved, get them to love God because of what their own father, who is supposed to show them the love of God and protection of God, has done to them. And it's hard to get them. Many of those young girls that I've dealt with, and older women, at this ladies' conference last year, I was telling downstairs a while ago, at the ladies' conference, I was at the prayer meeting, early morning prayer meeting. I had the early morning prayer meeting at the ladies' conference, and we had prayed for just about everybody comes for prayer. They have, you know, want to be prayed for. And I was praying, after we got through praying for as much as we'd prayed for, whatever, however long, I was doing deliverance, because when I pray, I do deliverance. And it floored me that some of us white-headed ladies down there had been molested and never had anything done about it, never had any deliverance or anything. And they were getting deliverance. And this one lady came up to me, and she whispered in my ear, and she said, would you break the curse of incest over me? And so I was calling it off of her. And as I called it off of her, the power of God fell. I was whispering in her ear. I was not saying it loud, because that's nobody's business but hers and God. And as I was praying for her, the power of God fell on that place. I'm telling you, I have never seen it before like it or since in the area of deliverance. I know the power of God is very, very strong when in deliverance, when you're doing one-on-one deliverance or whenever. But this was something that was very supernatural. And I just backed off and watched God work. But every woman up there was getting deliverance. And they were throwing up. We had garbage cans everywhere. And it just went on. And the power of God was so strong, you couldn't hardly stand there. In fact, I had to have help. I could not walk. It was so strong. But they were getting deliverance. One lady walked up to me after we had finished with that and asked me to pray for her, and I touched her. When I did, she did a black. She flipped over and hit her head on the back of the chair, and I thought, oh, Lord, protect her, you know, and got in the natural. And she got up, and she said, it's gone, it's gone. And I got one more thing. But that was God, and he was doing that supernatural. But those women, every one of them there was getting deliverance from incest, child abuse, rape, all kinds of molestations, and they told later about it. But I have never seen the power of the Lord work like that in the area of deliverance. Just the whole, took the whole group and delivered them. It was wonderful, and we're going to see it again like that. But this witchcraft that I would start on, like this hunter of souls here, when he goes, if he can remove the soul, get in and take a big portion of the soul. Let me back up a little bit. I may never get to scriptures, okay? I'm going to tell it. This girl's father was under curse from his father. His father had molested the girls in the family, even his own sisters. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how far back it went. But they were, what I found out later, that it came on the family. I don't recall how far back it went, but it went back to slavery. And the curse had been put on the family to cause them to do this because of the slavery. They even had slaves buried on their property. And that we found when we were after the ruler of this thing, after we got this one out, this strong man out, there was another one that was under witchcraft, black Satanism, a black man, a high priest in Satanism, and a black witch. And this is where it all came from. So this is why it's so important to go back to the sins of the fathers and get those off, because if we don't do it, then those curses are going to go forward and continue going forward. We've got to learn how to stop them, how to get them off, and so they can't repeat themselves. You say, well, what about breaking them off? Well, that's why I was talking about yesterday afternoon, this very same girl's daughter got molested. Not by her family, but with a friend over at a friend's house, a little girl, about 6 or 7 years old. She was a little older than her mother was. And she came in church one morning with her this little girl friend, and I said to her mother, I said, you need to separate your child from that little girl. That little girl needs help. The Lord spoke to me about that child. He didn't tell me about hers, but I knew she was in danger, and evidently it hadn't happened then. But she went with this little girl and was molested. And the man molested her, died. And she was angry. This child was angry because they had got him up on child abuse. And he was going to jail. And he died before he went to jail. And she felt like she got cheated. She wanted him in jail. And she was a mess. It's really been rough. So why did it not work? We broke the curses off of her. But we didn't know to go back. We broke the ancestral curses, but we didn't know to ask the Father to cleanse the blood and to drive out all the that came in with it. You see, and deliverance to me is an ever learning how to do. You never know. It's just like, to me, it's always fresh because God keeps continue giving us new insight. I think He does it as we'll believe. If we won't believe it, it'll cut it off. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, God won't show you anything else. You know, I'd have the Lord talking to me of a morning, early morning. I always studied somewhere between 6 o'clock. I mean, sometimes from 6 to 10, but somewhere after I first get up, I get into the Word. And I'd be sitting at my desk, and I'd be reading, and the Spirit of the Lord would reveal, and He opens the Scripture up to me. And He's showing me things that I, at times I've had trouble believing and receiving. I know it's true because He's showing it to me. And I get up, and I walk the floor, and I say, Lord, I've never heard that before. If I get in any doubt, He won't talk to me again until I repent. And I go back and repent, and He gives it to me again. I said, you know how dumb I am, Lord. And I don't mean to be putting dumbness on me, but according to the Word of God and walking where I want to walk, I don't know anything. You know what I mean? They kept talking about, we don't know this book. I always said, my husband, I always thought, it's like taking a pen and putting it in the ocean, and what you can bring up on the point of the pen is just about what we know about this Word. God's trying to reveal it to us, but sometimes we get unteachable, and we won't even let the Holy Spirit teach us. And we've got to get the root of this thing out. We've got to know where it came from and get it cleansed so we can take it off of our children. We don't have, and our grandchildren. I've got great-grandchildren, and some of you may have great-grandchildren by now. And we want them protected. We don't want this to happen. Over in, I started Proverbs 22 and verse 5. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul, shall be far from them. It tells me we've got to keep our soul. We've got to protect it. He created us in the womb of our parents, didn't He? When the sperm and the seeds and all went, God did it. So He's telling us that we're to protect ourselves, and we've got to remember this. And Tommy last night, he said, I know you know this, but you know this one. In Peter, he said, be sober and be vigilant, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you're covered in the armor of whole armor of God, and you're walking in the whole armor, and you're walking with your heart right before the Lord, the enemy can't touch you. And he sees you coming, he thinks you're Jesus till you open your mouth most of the time. But when we open our mouth, he knows that's not him. Because the wrong things usually come out of our mouth. It's true. We're all guilty of it. But he goes around seeking whom he may devour. And over in Job is they've been talking about the fire. Different ones have talked about the fire. I remember praying last year, Lord, send the fire. Now I'm saying, Lord, get me through the fire. Because I was just thinking, you know, Jesus said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I was thinking, oh boy, fire. The fire of God. And it came. But it didn't come like I thought it would. Go to Job chapter 1. The fire came and all the broth, everything's been burnt off, out. It's being burnt out. But it's very painful. And so when you ask for the fire, be ready. Because God will send it. In Job, in the testing of Job, has the title over my Bible. I've got a study Bible, and it's got the words of Scripture, the numbers of the concordance right there with it. And it keeps you looking all the time, you know. But in verse 6, he says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. We just read over in Peter, 1 Peter. So, you know, a lot of times you go to the Old Testament, first people say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, Peter told us the same thing, that the enemy walks up and down seeking whom he may devour. And so the interesting thing here is I thought God called Satan's attention to Job. And then, you know, what happened to Job and all this, and second chapter of Job, well, let's see, maybe it's here, he said, no, it's in the other one. Other chapter, Satan said to God, said, you got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Says, you let it down. So God let the hedge down. Do you think sometimes God lets the hedge down around us to see if we'll stand? I firmly believe that. The Lord gave me a picture of that one time about how the hedge was let down. I saw it in the spirit realm, and I thought, that wasn't good. And it's according to where we're walking, and if we're, you know, he was showing me that as long as we're, what he showed me was that he showed me myself, and I was surrounded with angels, warrior angels, big, tall, with shields, big, tall shields, and they made a hedge around me, and then I could see on the outside of these shields and these angels all kinds of demonic forces, and they were trying to get through to me, and they couldn't get through. And then he showed me what happened when they let down those shields, and they would run right. They were going up to the angels' faces, but the angels just didn't pay attention to them. But when they let their shields down, then they ran past them and started after me. And the Lord was showing me that as long as you're walking right and you're speaking the right word and you don't open the door, that they can't get through to you. And I said, Lord, that is really good. And so that's when I prayed now and said, Lord, I need a hedge around me for protection. And then help me to keep my hedge up that I won't let open a gate with my mouth. God loves us so much, but he's given us a will. You will do it or you won't do it. Okay, what I wanted you to see was that the enemy goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13. I guess it's been at least 10 years ago that the Lord gave this to me. And I was doing deliverance in a mission in Memphis. And I was teaching about 200 black men. Can you imagine me? A woman, a white face, and 200 black men all around you. I was saying, my husband was, and I was the only white one there, and I was saying to him one night, I said, man, we're either the dumbest people in the world or the most protected. I said, I believe we're the most protected. I said, you come down here where you got rapists, you got murderers, you got thieves, you got, you know, everything under the sun in this mission. And we're going down there to teach. I went down there by myself during the daytime and taught three times a week. But I was teaching down there when the Lord gave this to me. And we were driving down there one night. He gave me this on the Hunter Souls. And I didn't have a name for the spirit. I just knew he was a spirit demon that hunted the soul of man. And the Lord spoke to me. And Jim was driving, and I was sitting over. I don't know why it is, but I want to go preach and to share the scriptures, but all the way there I'm thinking, I don't really want to do this. Do I really want to do it? Lord, do you really want me to do this? But the minute I get there, I'm okay. And I was sitting there, I don't know what I was doing, and the Lord said to me, and just out of a clear blue sky, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you want to know the name of that spirit, Hunter Souls? I'll tell you who he is. And I sat up and I said, what? He said, it's Nimrod. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, the word says he was a mighty hunter. And so when you run references on him and chase down what he did, you can understand all that. But it was real interesting to me. So when I got down there, I didn't tell them who I thought it was, but I was teaching on this Ezekiel 13. So we'll start here with verse 17. First part of this chapter deals with the false prophet. And reason I want to share this before I go to reading this, the false prophet to me in all of this is witchcraft. You know, he falsely prophesies. He prophesies out of his own spirit. God said he has not said it. When you read the first part of this chapter, he talks about this. And I want you to know that this Hunter Souls works it's in witchcraft, and he works with a witch. There is always a witch that works with the Hunter Souls. I met that one too. But here he says, likewise, thy son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy, verse 17, prophesy out of thine own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women. Peggy, you want to turn the fan on, huh? You sit up, it's hot in here, it is. Yeah, turn it, have her. And he said, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. He said, they're putting kerchiefs on their head. To me, that kerchief is like hiding. It's a cover. It's a cover. It's a false cover. And he said, and on to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Now, this demon, I haven't ever seen him, but I've met him many times, and I've met him outside of a body, okay? He wasn't in someone. I've cast him out of people, but I've also met him outside. And he's got pouches on his arms, and he carries souls in them. Now, I was throwing one out of a lady one time in the church, and we worked and worked on the thing, and we couldn't get it out. So I was praying, and I said, Lord, why can't we get this thing out of her? And the Lord didn't tell me at that moment what it was, and then all of a sudden that demon in there said, you can't get me out. Sometimes I find that the Lord will make them tell me something. I said, Lord, I don't mean to be so dense, you can't get through to me sometimes, but that thing said, you can't get me out. And I said, yes, I can. I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will bow your knees to it. He said, but I got protection. He said, she's here. And I said, who's here? He said, well, I won't tell you what he called me, but he said, the witch. And I thought, what witch? You know. And I said, well, I bind the witch and the witch's power. And he said, that won't work either. So then it dawned on me, the witch was in her. And so I called the witch out, and the witch was her grandmother. Then, I don't know if her grandmother was in witchcraft or not, but I called her out by name. I asked her what her grandmother's name was. She told me, because the Lord said it was, and it sounded like her mother's name, and I wanted to be sure I wasn't. Her mother was working with me, and I didn't want to call the mother a witch if you know, I would if that's what the Lord said, but I wanted to be. But her grandmother's name was almost the same as the mother's, where one started with a C, the other one started with an F. One was, I wasn't on that tape. But anyways, the same sounding word, I call witch Frida out. I don't care, but she won't get it. She does, she'll know what I'm talking about. And I called Witch Frida out. And we had a battle with the witch getting it out. And I don't know if she put this thing in her or not. I don't know where, you know, the hunter souls. I don't know how he got in her. I didn't find out, but we got him out too. But that thing, every time I've run into him, he's smells like he comes up out of the earth. Smells like, you know how you dig a flower bed and you smell the earth? Well, that's the way that thing smells. And so I always tell when he's in the church. We have one that comes in our church every once in a while. And then I have to go hunt the witch and find where the witch is. Somebody in there, you know. And we get the witch out and we get rid of him. Excuse me. But this thing goes around hunting the souls of men. I was going to see if I wanted to finish the rest of this right now or come back to it. Let's go to Ezekiel 22. But keep your place there because we're coming right back there in just a few minutes. Well, that's okay. I got another one I want to do too. Chapter 22 and verse 25 says, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof like a roaring lion ravening the prey. The prey they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many windows in the midst thereof. And as I was reading that this morning, Lord gave me that scripture this morning, and as I was looking at it, and what he was showing me was that this spirit digs holes in the soul and goes in and takes what's the precious things of treasures and precious treasures of that God has given us, which is our mind, our will, our emotion, our ability, our understanding, and all of this, and he digs it out of the soul and then gives us the false. The devil never takes something that he doesn't give you something in place of it. And so he said, they have made her many windows in the midst of. So we were talking about doors. Windows, the same thing. Openings. It's an opening where the enemy can go in and to steal and to rob and to take from you. Have you? I really believe so. I believe that's the very root of it, because what he's talking about there, because you see, we haven't known for years when we were doing soul ties, breaking soul ties. We didn't know that we needed to call the soul back. And when the Lord revealed to me that the soul was missing, see, we don't want to believe that the devil can do that to us, but when the soul was, with the soul missing, there's nothing there to protect. This is why I tell people, get into the Word, and they need to call their soul back. You need to continually call your soul back to any time that you have trouble understanding or hearing or thinking. You need to say, Lord, restore that part of my soul that's been removed. And many times, if you really believe this when you pray, you will start yawning. And what I believe is happening when you call your soul back, it's running the evil part, counterpart out. And that's good. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is exactly why he can. He can go. There's nothing there. And no one, even when, and did you know that when you're after, and y'all are not going to, well, I'm going to say it anyways. I would say you're not going to believe it. Yeah, you're going to believe it. When you cast out those spirits that are dealing with the soul, you need to call the soul of the person out of the spirit. Did you know that the demons take your soul? Some of them in you have taken the parts of your soul, and your soul is buried within them. And you say, how do you know that? Because I've had the demons to tell me so. And this is really what got me digging on it. If a demon inside of a person is been put in there and can take a portion of their soul and bury it in them, then when you throw that out of them, they take that soul with them if you don't get the soul out. And we need to start calling the souls out of the spirits. And I know that no one's going to like what I'm saying, but it's true. We've done it, and I've seen it happen, and it's very true. And we also need to ask the Father, when we're going after this witchcraft and all this, we need to ask the Father to send angels to the satanic forces where they have hidden our souls in jars and vessels. And, you know, I've had demons to tell me, and some of the people that I've ministered to, that part of their soul would be in the Vatican. Part of it would be in pictures, and they put it in a picture in the Vatican, or they put it in a basement. And that always, you know, if you get real hard on one, people say, don't talk to devils. Well, I do, because I have authority over them. And I'm going to try the spirit. And you better try the spirit to see which one you're talking to. When you think you're talking to God, you better be sure it is God. Because there's demons, many Jesus spirits, and they'll deceive you in a minute if you don't try the spirit. But you ask the Father to send forth His angels. God knows where every part of our soul is. It's just, you know, I just heard this. Getting your soul back is just like getting your salvation. If you don't believe it, you won't get it. If you don't believe in being saved, you won't get saved. You have to ask. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to come in, that God to save you. He says He saved us all at the cross. He delivered all of us. But if we don't ever ask, it's just there. And we don't receive anything of the Lord. Faith is the way we receive from God. And many times when I'm teaching on soul, I watch people's faces. I know who's believing, who's not, and who's warring against it. But that they're not really doing it. It's spirits and people that do that. They war against it. This is the bad thing about it. A lot of people don't recognize that it is the spirit rather than, you know, the individual, and that they don't want them to believe, because they need to hear it and need to stand on the Word and receive their soul back. But it is so predominant that the devil has stolen. And that scripture that I read yesterday in Genesis 9 got me digging again for looking for scriptures where it says that God's Word says that they can take your soul. There were, you know, I stood on 7 for a long time, and then over in Psalms 19:7, because it tells us that the soul can be taken and that it needs to be restored. But let's go to Psalm 71. I appreciate you bringing that forth, because that was needed, and we got that on the tape. And I pray that people will hear it and believe it, because it is so true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They put it everywhere, something. Mm-hmm. That witch that came that I had to deal with told me that, and this is, I forget about it. I'm glad you said that, that the cage that they do is a Cajun cage, and they take four sticks. They can take four sticks and put together and take apart anything they can get a hold of you, of yours, and put it in there and put a curse on you, too. A Cajun curse. I've had to break them off of my yard. That witch got in my yard. And tell me it didn't real. I know what it's like. She planted a whole bunch of blood in my backyard. My husband found it. God, that it was in a plastic bag. And they had, Jim was in the back, behind my shed where my lawnmower is. And he said he was wondering what that white bucket out there was. It was a 5-gallon bucket. And he turned it over, picked it up, rather, and on top of it was a lot of leaves in it, and he moved the leaves off. I don't like what I'm getting, in the name of Jesus. There was a plastic bag full of blood that had been put on our property. And under the window by our bedroom, I was digging in my rose bed, and I dug up a bread sack, you know, wrapper, and in it were all kinds of things, bones, fetishes. There was bread in it, one piece of bread. I had no idea what the bread was for, but we took all of it off of our property and broke curses and spells and hexes and jinxes that had been loosed. And we have found things like that. We found three dead birds, you know, where they'd be in the front yard. And it's no coincidence. They're put in a formation. And all of this. And so don't tell me they don't do it, because I know they do. We've had it done to us. We destroyed them. He took them out of the yard and prayed over them. I'm trying to remember what he did do with them. He took care of them. But he took care of it all. But burning them, he didn't, I don't think. I don't think he burnt. But it just answered a lot of questions for me that I have had. So we live on 51 Highway coming out of Memphis, and we've only lived there about 54 years, and everyone knows where we live. You know, we've lived there so long. And when we left home and came over here or went somewhere for, you know, 2 or 3 days, we had to go back and walk our property, and we'd take a big tall bottle of oil and break curses. We'd go from corner to corner. And I've had the demons tell me that that they had cursed under my doorsteps. And sure enough, we'd go look under the doorsteps, and there it would be. And we were fighting it all the time. That's why I've never understood why people have such a hard time with witchcraft and the occult and Satanism, because we have had to fight so much of it. And I firmly believe, and I was told by some of the spirits, in fact, one witch herself, that they wanted to know how we knew as much as we did about those spirits. They didn't know. It wasn't time for people to know. They weren't supposed to know. But God has always would give me something and then give it to me in the Word. Over in Psalm 71 and verse 10 says, "For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him." Well, that's a lie. The devil can say as he wants to, can't he? But God's brought us forth. I wasn't saying the word was a lie, but I said the enemy's saying that's a lie, because God has given us authority to deliver people, has he not? And God's telling us that the devil wants our soul, because if he gets your soul, he can control you. That's why we're seeing so much of it. I praise God for the Word. I'm telling you, people, we got to dig more and more again to find more and more of the things that God is trying to tell us to use in our warfare. Because we can, you can pray for your family. You can ask God to restore their soul. You can ask Him to put a hedge of angels around them. And you loose the Word. What He said in Psalms 106, He said He sent His Word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. I had my son tell me many a time, Mother, I knew you were praying for me. He said, there's no reason I should even be alive. He said, I've had people, this was years ago when he was in the occult, he was in drugs, which is occult, and he said that he'd had someone point a gun at him and try to shoot him and said the gun would misfire. I said, yes, I had been praying. I told the devil he wasn't going to kill you. I said, I knew he was trying. I didn't know what he was into. I just found this out later. But I had stood in the gap for him and believed God to bring him in, and he did, and made a deliverance work out of him. And let me, real hurriedly, we're going to, I'll get to you in just a second. Let me finish this. And in Psalms 86, if I can find 86, and verse 14 says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. So he says, violent men, and this is another scripture where it proves to us that the enemy wants to take our soul. We never really thought about it being, when you read this before, you never really thought about the devil was trying to get your soul. You always thought, well, he's just trying to kill me. Well, he was. He really was trying to kill us, wasn't he? So let's go back real quickly to, I'm going to stop and do some deliverance, but let's go back to 13 one more time. I want to finish this. Ezekiel 13 and verse 19, he said, I read in verse 18, he says, will you hunt the souls of my people? By the way, he doesn't hunt the souls of the devil's people. They already belong to him. He hunts God's people, and he hunts their soul. And he said in verse 19, and will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? See, I was reading that this morning and I was thinking, they've been talking about it. It's been talked downstairs from the pulpit about the words that come from some of the pulpits. You can't have a demon, you know. You don't have to worry about the devil. You're under the blood. And that's a lie. And why do they do that? Some of those men have been, it's been shared with them about deliverance, and they won't believe it because it hits them in the pocket, the pocketbook. And this is what this scripture is talking about. He said that you should slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. And you know, I was looking at this and I heard somebody else teach on this from somewheres, and they was talking about white witchcraft will keep a person alive that ought to die. And I believe that. I had been believing this, and I'll tell you why. I believe that they take the souls that they collect and put them in someone that's living, but not they're just there. They ought to die. They're being kept alive artificially. My sister was kept alive for 2 years, my tube feeding her in her stomach. Terrible. They had to take her leg off, and all of the things that happened to my sister should never have happened to her. And I believe her family, I believe the enemy used this to really work on her family. But I believe that this is white witchcraft. Now, the other part of that scripture says, and to, what do you say, save the souls alive that should not, the souls that should not die and to save them alive, those that should not live. There are, like my sister should have died. My husband shouldn't have. My sister should have died. My husband should not have died. My husband was serving the Lord with all his ability. And so this, the white witchcraft keeps them alive and the black witchcraft kills them. And they say, well, witchcraft is nothing to it. Yeah, it is. The whole thing about them is they're serving the devil. They won't admit that, but they're working with the devil. Well, the witch that I dealt with said that they were in Satanism. She was high witch. Yeah, I don't remember if it was Oklahoma or Texas. And her mother had been the high one. And she had to war with her mother to get her position. And she told me they normally killed her, would kill one to take her place. Isn't that awful? And yet God's people won't even believe it exists. But there are spirits that go around and hunt souls to kill and to to destroy. Well, I believe when they take your soul, they will try to put, come on out of there in the name of Jesus. They will put unbelief and doubt in you. So you can't believe. So I wanted to share this afternoon with this. I had touched on witchcraft yesterday when I got on the rebellion, but I didn't go into it anywhere at all like I wanted to with this. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but it's real. Okay? And if you want some deliverance from it, we'll work on some of it. And I think the first thing we need to work on is to ask the Lord to restore. So what did you want to say? Now, we take oil. We were oiling from post to post with a fence around. There's no fence that you can see in my yard because the trees and the stuff is already taken over in it and the honeysuckle and all that. But there's a post at each corner, and then in between, and I have to go break Cajun curses over my rose beds. My roses were in a fenced in with timber, and my roses would look like they were going to die. And we'd go out there and take the oil and break the Cajun curses of them, every satanic curse, and they'd come out. But it's very real. We've had spirits drop in when we're doing deliverance. And they drop into the individual we're working on. We'd be after something witchcraft, you know. And he said it was a human spirit. I don't know what he was because I didn't see him. I just heard him. I was dealing with this girl, and all of a sudden, the spirit was about to, well, I almost had the demon out. And all of a sudden, something was just real bold. Well, you can't get me out. And I thought, hey, Lord, is that the same one I've been working on? The Lord said, no, you got this, or just dropped in. And so I said, okay, I bind you in her till I want to let you go. You're going to tell me who you are and where you came from. And that thing would scream. I've had it happen many times. They'd go screaming at me and call me a thing in the book. You know, they got to get it off their chest. And so when they get through, I said, okay, who are you and where'd you come from? And they said, I'm not going to tell you anything. I said, okay, you can just stand there. Well, I'll make her life hell. I said, that's her problem. You said, you're not very kind. I just want him to know I didn't care. You know, if he had upset me, he'd think, I got you. So I said, well, that's her problem. She'll take care of you. And he'd scream, you can't do that. And I said, well, I've already done it. Try to get out. You can't get out. I'm not going to let you out. And until you tell me what I want to know. I said, where'd you come from? And finally, after working with him, he don't do it easily, but after working with him a little bit, he'd say, and he told me his name. One thing demon told me, he said, my name's Gary. I said, well, Gary, where'd you come from? You were uninvited. You came in, you're trespassing in her body. He said, I was sent to protect that demon. You're not going to throw him out. I said, yeah, we're going to throw you out first. And you're going back and tell him you failed, or you can stand and watch. I'm going to throw that one out, too. And Rowan let him out right then, and I made him think he was going to stay. They really don't like to be done that way. But when I let him out, we got the thing out of him, out of her. But that thing was sent in. Now, we're in the church doing deliverance. How do they know what we're doing? You tell me. They have demons, as Peggy and I were talking about the other day, that come in and spy on you, and they go back and report. Now, the people don't believe that either. You've been in it. You know. You know what I'm saying is true. So, you got something, okay? Okay, I'm fixing to call spirits out, so go ahead. Go ahead.
He reached for my pacemaker, and I jumped right quick and turned. How did he know about my pacemaker?
Because he's been spying on you. They spy on you. They send them in, and... That's what your familiar spirits are for. And I'll tell Jay this, and we'll real quickly, we're going to have deliverance downstairs, I reckon. Who's minister? Brother Pittman. Oh, well, we better get busy then. I'll leave that off till later. Let's pray then, okay? Let's go after some of these. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for deliverance. I thank you that deliverance is a children's bread. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask that you just let the anointing of your spirit, let the power of God just come forth. Your word says that it's anointing that breaks the yoke, and we want to break the yoke of the bondage of each one here in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to restore each soul that's been removed, every portion of the soul that's been removed by the hunter souls, by Satanism, by witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, we ask for your angels to go forth, loose your angels to go forth and bring back every part of our fragmented souls in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring them back cleansed, and every force that they put on our souls to be cleansed off of them, that we might have a complete soul that you put in us when you created us, Father. And we thank you for restoring the soul, man, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory and honor, because you said we have not because you ask not. When you asked amiss. So, Father, we just ask right now that every portion be restored in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break every curse of witchcraft that's been loosed upon us. I break every curse of Satanism. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every satanic curse that's been loosed, I command you to turn loose and come out. Everything that's been put on by animal sacrifice or child sacrifice that's been put on through the blood, through the blood of an animal or human, in the name of Jesus, blood sacrifices, come off of them right now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, all satanic curses, all hexes, vexes, incantation, all spell magic, all magic and horoscopes and tarot cards and crystal balls. You've had your fortune read. We call out the spirits from the crystal ball, from the Ouija board. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break, call out the evil soul ties that were put in when the soul was removed. We call out every part of that evil soul, every spirit of unbelief and doubt. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break any power of baptism in witchcraft or baptism in blood. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I call out every part of the blood baptism in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, baptism into Satanism. I call out, break the power of perversion and incest and child sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, and I call out abortion and murder in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out deception. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stealing, trickery. I don't know if y'all. I'm not going to explain this. I'm going to call it. But I call out that the mind disease in the name of Jesus. That thing that takes the mind in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, let them go. All the guilt, I call out the werewolf spirit. If you've been in drugs, I break the curse of that werewolf spirit. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name, crystal ball, love portions, psychic prayers, let them go. Spirits of the Masonic Lodge, in the name of Jesus, Eastern Star, in Jesus' name, or I forgot what the girls are. Rainbow girls, in the name of Jesus. Ending witchcraft, ending curses, black witchcraft, white witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and let them go. Demalaise, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse from the demalaise, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call out anger, rejection, child sacrifice, spirits of Molech. blood sacrifice, confusion, forgetfulness, unbelief, and doubt. Come on out of there now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all blood diseases that pertain to the heart and the lungs and the arteries, in the name of Jesus, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all the sicknesses and physical things that the enemy's put on through satanic curses, curses of death, loosen them and come out of there. Death, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of death, come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. I break the assignment of death in the name of Jesus and command you out now. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every curse of death spoken by words, by doctors, or by cults, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus, we cancel your assignment by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lose life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, death, destruction, early death, Terminator, spirit of the Terminator, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Loosen them, come on out of there. We break the power of that Terminator in the name of Jesus. We break the power of falling and broken bones and come against fatigue, the bloodsuckers that steal your strength. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. All the death. Come on out of there. All the death. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The word says that Jesus overcame death and hell. And in the name of Jesus, I call the spirit of death and the spirit of hell out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn loose and come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Bestiality, blood retardation. I break curses from Adam and curses from Eve in the name of Jesus. That curse of death that came through Adam, I break its hold and command it to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out spirit guides in the name of Jesus and familiar spirits. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, every name that has the name bows to the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I keep going back to doubt and unbelief. Unbelief's the ones I was trying to say. Spirits of unbelief that block our getting free. I commend you to go. Let them go. Come on out of there. All the unbelief and the doubt. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Doubt and unbelief. Let them go. Doubt. Come out of there. Come out of there now in unbelief. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has the name bows to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break every psychic prayer that's been prayed over anyone here in the name of Jesus. Every spell that's been put on by the psychic powers, I call that psychic power out in psychic prayers in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name what?
Projection.
Astral projection, I call you out now in Jesus' name. Astral projection, soul travel, come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you demon of astral projection that causes the soul to travel, come out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it is the soul being projected. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Frustration, fears, and lies. Come on out of there. Unbelief and doubt. All the forgetfulness. Anybody having trouble forgetting things? Remembering things? Forgetfulness. Spirit of forgetfulness. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn loose. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go. You cannot stay there in Jesus' name. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, turn loose and let go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.